All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. And in the back half of the show, because we get so many questions and comments that a lot of our listeners want a more technical look at these markets, we're happy to have back on Dana Lyons, fund manager and editor of the Lion Share Pro website. Dana is our go-to, one of our go-tos for more of the technical side of the markets. And we always ask him about resources too. And he shares what his internal models, mostly focused on the broad averages, are showing him. So Dana, I want to start off with silver. We talked a lot about silver this week, but we talked with a lot more people that were analyzing it from more of a fundamental sense. From a technical sense, silver went through about a 14% correction, lasted a little under a month, came back up to test that level, then went through a very shallow short correction after that, and really since has just exploded higher into the high $50 range. A lot of people pointing to $60, then a lot of other people, a lot of the silver bugs pointing to triple digits for silver. So curious your thoughts on this silver move. Would you consider this a parabolic move? And where do you see silver going from here?
Yeah, thanks, Corey. I think we talked about the last couple times I was on that you really saw that parabolic move in the precious metals complex from about April into probably the middle of October. Just an extreme blow off type of a move. Certainly, there was some pent up demand for many years that contributed to that. But our thesis, the data that we're looking at, has suggested that while there is more, likely more left in this longer term bull market in precious metals, on a short term basis, it got pretty exhaustive, that blow off type of a move, and sentiment got extremely overheated. And once that little bubbly move did pop in mid October, that was a sign that, okay, the air's come out of there. We need to digest that huge move that we saw over the previous 6 months or so, and we just need to digest and consolidate for a time. And so we've expected a trading range in the complex, gold, silver, copper, the miners, probably for several months. And got to that's basically how the market has run its course. Since then, for the most part, you'll get gold, you'll get the miners. That's basically been trading range up and down. It's held up fairly close to the former highs, which is a very good sign going forward for the potential for another up leg. So that has not been bearish whatsoever, especially that huge run up that we have, that it's been able to hold on to most of those gains. But we do expect further sideways action here for at least the near term. Now, silver, as you mentioned, has been kind of the outlier. That one did, after, you know, maybe 6 weeks of a little consolidation, did end up breaking out. I'm not sure if that's going to be sustainable, to be honest, in the near term, just because it is an outlier's kind of exception versus the rest of the precious metals space. So we came into that move partly hedged in silver, partly hedged in the miners, and kind of selling at the top of the range, buying the bottom of the range. Now that silver has broken out definitively, we have certainly have no interest in staying hedged in that move, even though we are kind of skeptical that it might fail in the near term and come back into that range, like I mentioned, the rest of the complex for a little bit longer. Kind of let sentiment settle in a little bit and restore, so that when we do get that legit breakout, that it is more sustainable, that it can progress, you know, on a magnitude like we've seen some of the other moves over the past year or so.
Well, Dana, I'd ask you this off mic, but just for the benefit of those listening, just want to re-ask it. You know, you had mentioned that it was a breakout, but there was a consolidation after the October highs. The monthly closes on all of these gold, GDX, silver, SIL, copper, and COPEX all closed at all-time monthly highs. And there's a lot of institutions, there's a lot of algo trading that looks at those longer duration charts. Does it change the thesis at all that everything technically broke out on a monthly basis to end November?
I think the monthly high closes are certainly not a bad development. It's very constructive and goes along. I think it's marries the thesis that we do think there's more to come longer term in this bull market. But it doesn't certainly doesn't preclude the potential for further digestion here in the near term. So I think they both kind of fit into the thesis that we have in that near term, we're a little bit cautious. We don't want to be super aggressive there in the space, but certainly longer term, we're still bullish. We do still have high hopes for the space. And once this near term consolidation shakeout runs its course, we do see certainly more potential to the upside in this space.
So, Dana, curious to get your answer on this. A lot of people in the silver space like to talk about short squeezes. Has this been a short squeeze in silver?
I think there was something certainly to that notion early on. I'm not sure, given the parabolic move that we saw, I don't think you can ascribe much more of this move to just simply short squeezing anymore. I think it's probably that's what you get at the initial stages of a move that can start kind of propel that into that type of a parabolic move, but eventually that runs its course. But that's what I'm talking about, the kind of sentiment reset that we'd like to see here. It would actually probably be more healthy to see this temporary breakout in silver fail and shake some people out, shake out some of the hot money, the fast money, maybe get some short interest back into the market, seeing as though, okay, maybe they're looking at double tops, maybe they're looking at a false breakout, and we do build up maybe some bearish interest in it again, which, once we do break out again, that can sustain and service fuel and sustain, like I mentioned, a more sustainable breakout and push things much higher on a sustainable basis rather than kind of just a flash in the pan type move here.
Dana, just one more technical one on silver because we get a lot of questions coming in on this. And I've seen a lot of people posting about this that are technicians online. There was that long-term cup and handle pattern, really going back to the 1980 high at near 50, then the 2011 high at 50 that made the cup, and then the handle over the last, let's say, 13, 14 years. And silver definitively did close above it on a daily, weekly, monthly basis. So you've achieved a higher level than 50. So a lot of people flipping that cup over and projecting it up to 96 or $100. So that's one way of looking at it. The other thing on the short term, if we dial into the daily, there was on the futures market 54 and a 54 hit in October, and then that correction, and then this move that blasted up to about 59 on the futures surpassed that, which was the double top theory. So that kind of got invalidated. Any idea on a projection of where this could go, or any nuances there around the longer term cup and handle breakout versus the short term break above that recent double top?
I don't love to make projections, to be honest. I like to ride it. We have our extension levels that will take profits. Certainly, if we get there, I would say the longer the space, the longer the base, the higher the space, as they say. So, on a long-term basis, if we do get that long-term cup and handle breakout, certainly could be very powerful. You could see a monster move. And then on a shorter term basis, I do see what you're talking about with the double top breakout. I'm seeing the same thing we saw, kind of the same thing we saw in gold, probably about almost, I think at the beginning of 2024, we saw a similar type of longer term cup and handle breakout. And we've basically doubled since then, I believe, or and then some. So I would not shock me to see that type of a move eventually, but I don't think it's going to be straight up. And I do think there's some froth maybe to be worked off here, but both those developments, I can't argue against, the positive nature of both of those developments.
All right, Dana, thanks for taking those precious metals questions. Let's move to copper because copper, really, you can go back to 2022, mid-2022, and copper has been in a nice uptrend. And if you take out the tariff spike and all that noise, quite frankly, copper now I consider it pretty much at an all-time high and grinding nicely higher to that level. Again, you take out all that tariff spike and tariff fall, but even on the back of the tariff clarification and that fall, you were saying that you saw that as a buying opportunity. Boy, has it ever been. Copper's been going up really ever since that. What's your outlook for copper here?
Yeah, again, similar to the rest of the space, we do see the new highs in copper, which is also, I wouldn't want to be hedged in that space. There might also need to be a little back and forth here. Although I think Copper probably got more of a shakeout. When you mentioned, like you mentioned in that in the tariff talk back in July, August, which we did see as a buying opportunity in copper, and even more so in the copper miners, which turned out to be just a gift. Miners, investors buying, being able to buy them at those prices. So that was a gift. I do think that probably took some of the froth out of the market that we do see in the silver market, in the gold market still, which needs to probably be worked off more so than copper. So I would say copper probably has less headwind, technically speaking, right here than maybe gold and silver. But I would expect to see kind of trading along the same lines across the precious metal space to, for the most part. You know, maybe copper can continue to inch higher, maybe a higher highs, while the rest of the space kind of moves sideways and consolidates. But I would expect, for the most part, a lot of the same sideways kind of digestive action here, just in the short term.
Well, Dana, you know where I'm probably going next. I want to ask you about COPEX. Now, it's probably a similar thesis to silver, the silver stocks, copper, but it does appear to be continuing to make all-time highs. It just hit a peak in, like a month or two ago in October, and it surpassed that recently. So is this a breakout in COPEX? Can it act different than copper itself?
I see, look, if you zoom out, I'm looking back to like 2010, 2011. I'm seeing highs basically in the mid 60s back then, 63-ish level. We're trading right now in the 64 range. So I don't see a definitive breakout from that standpoint. I wouldn't be surprised to see again some backing and filling, some consolidation in this general vicinity before we get a more decisive and again the potential for a more sustainable breakout. So it hasn't done anything wrong. It's just dealing with, I think, some of those former highs from about 15 years ago, which markets do have memory. And I do think probably a little bit more consolidation here before, like I've been mentioning, before maybe a more sustainable breakout. At least it would be more healthy, I think, once we do get that breakout, if we can digest for a little bit and shake some people out, it would be a more healthy and sustainable breakout in that case. But I do think we are still dealing with some of that technical resistance from, you know, a decade and a half ago right here.
All right, Dan, let's move to the cryptos. I want to talk Bitcoin with you because as Bitcoin does and as cryptos are, it's been volatile. It went through a pretty massive drop just in November, down almost 18%, coming off a high of about 126,000, the whole way down to 80,000, but since has rebounded into the low 90,000s. It's been volatile. It's showing that it's, yeah, maybe not the safe haven that some people would like to say, but really you look at a longer term chart, even just going back to 2022, still in an uptrend in that $80,000 low. That was a higher low than earlier in the year in April when Bitcoin got down to 74,000. So Bitcoin, what's your outlook?
Yeah, it's still hitting higher highs, higher lows in the long term, like you mentioned. From our perspective, it's not really showing the relative strength leadership that we like to observe in positions that we own. So I think there's probably a lot better places to be in right now, even though maybe it hasn't, the uptrend, the bull market maybe hasn't been totally invalidated. But on the way up, it's going to have no shortage of technical resistance to get through before it's on a better technical footing. So right now, I mean, we were hoping to see that basically around that low 100,000-ish area hold on the way down. That held very briefly and then broke. So right now, I think in the near term, it's kind of broken. It has to, again, prove to us that it's on a more sustainable technical footing before we want to be more aggressive in that. Or Ethereum, that's the same story there.
Well, I was going to ask you if there was any nuances between Ethereum and Bitcoin, because kind of two different markets. There's two big ETFs now falling. Well, there's a lot of ETFs in Bitcoin, but even Ethereum has some dedicated funds now. Do you think there's any nuance between the two?
Certainly, the charts are a little bit different. They do trade in tandem. I think the longer term construction is a little bit different. So we trade them separately, even though they tend to trade directionally in the same way. But I guess I would say, if you're looking at Bitcoin, I'd like to see it even above 110,000 before I'm really interested in being aggressive. And then Ethereum, got to get back decisively above 3,500 before I'm really that interested in being too aggressive there as well.
All right, Dana, time to move to the broad averages. I want to talk either S&P, NASDAQ, whatever you want to touch on there. They are rebounding, getting closer to or back to those all-time highs. Last time we talked, your models had turned negative for the markets. That was back in, I think, mid-November, even early November, that those models turned negative. Where do the models stand now after this rebound we've watched?
Our model turned, our main risk model turned negative early November, and we had been seeing, kind of hints at like an internal deterioration breakdown a little bit before, basically in a month leading up to that. So you saw a lot of the broad averages really peaked out early October and then started trending lower, which fed into some of that internal deterioration, fed into our model, which turn lower in early November, even as those major averages were still hitting highs. So we were able to protect ourselves during that correction that we saw. Now we have seen, like you mentioned, a nice rebound beginning a couple weeks ago. I think we're seeing a couple interesting things in play here. For us, you had asked me, a couple weeks ago, do we think it's maybe, if there's a threat of a major top in the works, or if it's maybe a more of a short-term correction reset type of situation. And we did indicate that we thought it was the latter. We didn't think there was signs of a major top, just a shorter-term shakeout and what I would say kind of a sentiment reset. And I think all signs since then, all market action since then would continue to lend itself to it being just a short-term kind of a correction. And like I mentioned, a kind of a sentiment reset. So you saw, especially in the large cap growth names, the NASDAQ, the tech space, which had been, those relative strength leaders for a while, really got ahead of themselves. Some of the sentiment numbers got a little bit too extended in those areas, and that's where that short-term risk was. So we saw kind of a tail off in the broad averages, give us a heads up that those new highs in the average, in the main averages, were probably not sustainable. We saw those get hit, and we've seen kind of a flip-flop action now in recent weeks, which has been super interesting. We've seen the broad market, we've seen the breadth, a lot of the internal readings kind of rebound even faster than the major large cap averages. So now we're seeing more strength in the broad average and in the broad market, and we're seeing kind of still near term risk, I think, in those in the large cap tech space. So I think we, even in our model, we've seen a lot of positive behavior in our model. We're not back to a buy signal yet. It could happen this week or early next week. We're not there yet, but we have seen some positive developments there, which we are monitoring very closely. I don't think we're out of the woods yet, especially in terms of some of that tech names, tech sectors, and subsectors, which probably have potential for another shakeout here, especially early December tends to often be the site of some shakeouts, some short-term shakeouts, and some spikes in the VIX. But again, I would suspect, based on some of those signs we're seeing inside of our model as well as outside of our model, I would expect that to be short-term in nature and eventually resolve itself to the upside.
All right, Dana, always great hearing from you. Thank you again, as always, for sharing what you're seeing, what your models are telling you, and diving into the metal sector with us. You know how much our audience appreciates those comments. Everyone, we're wrapping it up here. So thank you for tuning in to this weekend show. Be sure to visit our website, podcast, YouTube channel, and Substack account. Just search The KE Report. That's where you can listen to all our daily editorials and company updates recorded throughout the week. And again, if you want to follow along a bit more with how Dana's trading these markets, check out the Lion Share Pro website. which will be linked in the show notes. Dana, everyone, thank you so much for your time this weekend. I hope you all have a great rest of your weekend.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.